He is not there to entangle you further in the trap of karma. That is the position of a guru. In fact, it has been mentioned that if you know these disqualifications of guru, you are already progressing. You will be easily able to spot genuine guru. So the qualifications I have mentioned, and I have mentioned the disqualification. The qualifications are that he comes in sampradaya, that he is fixed in the absolute truth. The disqualifications are that he does not claim to be God, neither does he claim that you are God. In addition, he does not demonstrate material cheap tricks. Neither in addition does he try to give you material benediction. He instead tries to help you re-establish contact with God. And the true test is that by following his instructions, the forest fires in your life will be put out. But how do you approach a spiritual master? You should also know how to approach a spiritual master. If you don't approach him correctly, you will never get the message. There is the example of a young gentleman, a young philosopher who went to meet a spiritual master. So when he went to meet him, he sat down with him and said, "I would like to clarify some doubts that I have about God and about religion." So he said, "Certainly, do sit down." And both of them, they started discussing. And this philosopher, young boy who had come, he kept on arguing and discussing and arguing and discussing with him. Finally, the spiritual master said, "Fine, now wait, now we'll have some hot milk." So he went inside and he brought a jug with hot milk and gave him a cup. So he started pouring hot milk into his cup. And very soon what happened, he didn't stop pouring that hot milk. So that hot milk, it overflowed from the cup and that boiling, scalding milk fell on the lap of that boy. So this man jumped up and he jumped up with pain and anger and he said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Can't you see my cup is full? Can't you see my cup is full?" So he says, "My dear friend, that's what I've been trying to tell you for the last 3 hours. Your cup is full, and when you come to me with a full cup, you can no longer accept anything more." So you should never approach a spiritual master with a full cup. You should approach him with an empty cup. You should be willing to learn. If you are trying to teach somebody something, then you will never learn anything. If you approach an empty cup with the desire to learn and to accept, then only you can learn. So you should learn with humility. You should learn with an empty cup. In fact, so much humility is required in approaching a spiritual master. It has been said that you should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant. So people say, "Like a servant? I should serve a spiritual master like a menial servant?" It sounds so horrible that you want to run away when you hear this. But actually that is the instruction. Because what do we mean by becoming servant of a spiritual master? Who is spiritual master? Once I asked my guru, Srila Bhakti Parasi, what is the definition of guru? He said, "A guru is not God. A guru is like your glasses. If you have glasses and you take your glasses off, you can't see clearly. But if you put your glasses on, you can see more clearly." That is the position with guru. He himself is so transparent that although he is not God, he helps you to see God clearly. That is the position of spiritual master. That you can see transparently through him, you can see God. The guru is actually a window into the spiritual world. Although he is not God, you can see God through him. Therefore, when you serve him as a humble menial servant, you are actually directly serving God. This is the correct philosophical understanding. And you have a choice. Either you should become servant of God or you become servant of your tongue, your belly and your genitals. You have to be servant anyway. The position of the living entity is to be servant. Either you serve material nature by serving your tongue, your belly and your genitals, or you become servant of God by becoming servant of a self of God realized spiritual master. And then you will be free of the enslavement of your sense organs. You will be free of the enslavement of material nature. That is what you should be doing. Actually, in the spiritual world, what is lowest here is highest there. What is highest there is lowest over here. For example, in the material world, sex life is the highest pleasure. But in the spiritual world, it's the lowest. So also in the material world, to be servant is the lowest thing. But in the spiritual world, to be servant is the highest. This is the way it is. So therefore, we should learn to serve the spiritual master as a humble servant. But in actual fact, it's very, very difficult for us to do so. Because right from infancy, we are programmed not to be servant, but we are programmed to be master. You see a little small child, even before he starts going to school, he always wants to be lord and master. He tries to control his mother, he tries to control his father. If he cannot control the mother and father, what will he do? He will control the grandfather and grandmother. He wants to dominate, he wants to control somebody, he wants to be master of somebody. He cannot have the position of being controlled, he cannot allow himself to serve somebody, he wants to be boss, he wants to be big man. And actually we encourage our children in the same way. We encourage our children to be masters, not servants. We encourage our children to be leaders and not followers. and we actually instill in their minds and their hearts a desire to dominate. I remember a couple of years ago I had to get my son admitted to school, and to get admission in a good school in Bombay is very difficult, I tell you. You have to put your son through so many tests in so many schools. Not only does the son have to appear for so many examinations, but the parents also have to go to the similar examinations. For example, my wife and me had to undergo so many interviews, including a psychological test to find out whether we were suitable parents for a student of their school. In fact, one couple, when they had to fill up the form to apply for admission to a school, they were given a form on where there was a question. That is your child a leader or is your child a follower? So the husband and wife, they thought about it and finally they decided that why not put down the truth. So they wrote down that my child is a follower. So they got a reply from the school. Congratulations, your child has been admitted in a class with 99 leaders and one follower. Because every parent wants their child to be a leader. Every parent wants their child to be pushed ahead. Nobody wants their child to be a follower. Therefore, from infancy, from childhood, we are forced to become leaders. Therefore, our very nature rebels against the idea of falling. Our very nature rebels against the idea of becoming servant or serving. And this goes on not only in infancy and childhood, but even till the last days of your life. Even till the last days of your life. In fact, some of you may have heard about the great Emperor Aurangzeb. The great Emperor Aurangzeb was known for his cruelty. Incidentally, I might also tell you that when I was born, my parents wanted to call me Aurangzeb. Because my parents had their honeymoon in Aurangabad. So they decided that if they have a boy, they will call him Aurangzeb. If they have a girl, they'll call her Ajanta. So actually my younger sister, she is called Ajanta. So they wanted to call me Aurangzeb. So when they wanted to call me Aurangzeb, everybody said, what? You want to give your son the name of Aurangzeb, that of a Muslim? So my father said, okay, we can call him Aurang. So he said, no, don't do that. Because calling him Aurang will not solve the problem. He will immediately understand as he grows up that he is actually named after Aurangzeb. So he said, so what? What's wrong with Aurangzeb? My father said, Aurangzeb, he was a great emperor. Not only he was a great emperor, but he was also a very religious person. Aurangzeb was a very religious person. So what's wrong? My son can be called after Aurangzeb. So then his aunt told him that, yes, your son will learn that he is Aurangzeb and he'll model himself after him and you think it's a great idea. But don't forget what Aurangzeb did to his father. Aurangzeb imprisoned Shah Jahan, he took over the kingdom, he imprisoned Shah Jahan and blinded him. So after she told him that, they decided to change my name. Therefore I am not called Aurangzeb today. But in fact, that is precisely what they did, what Aurangzeb did. Aurangzeb, he pulled his father off the throne, he blinded him and imprisoned him. This was the cruelty of Aurangzeb. And Shah Jahan, in the last years of his life, blinded, imprisoned, deprived of his throne, he wrote a very humble letter to his son. He told him that, my dear son, I am now blind by your grace. I am also imprisoned and I have been deprived of my kingdom. But in the last few years of my life that I have left, let me do something useful. I am an Arabic and I am a Persian scholar. So you send me at least 3 or 4 students whom I can teach. And by teaching them Arabic and Persian, what will happen is that I will use whatever skills I have and they will also benefit. So Aurangzeb saw that letter and he threw it away. He said, request denied. So even Aurangzeb's admirers were shocked at this cruelty. They said, you not only removed your father from the throne, you blinded him, you had imprisoned him, now he wants to do a little bit of good in the world, that also you're denying him. So Aurangzeb looked at them and said, aha, you think that my father Shah Jahan, he wants to do something good? You don't understand the psychology of my father. My father was Emperor of India and I have removed him from the position of Emperor of India. But mentally he still wants to be Emperor. If he can't be Emperor of India, he wants to be Emperor of 4 students. That is his desire. He still wants to lord it over, he still wants to be Lord and Master, he wants to be King, he wants to be Emperor of 4 students if he can't be Emperor of India. Therefore, knowing and understanding his mentality, I have refused his request. So right from infancy, right from childhood, right until the last days of your life, even if you lose the throne of Emperor of India, that desire to dominate, that desire to control, that desire to become master, that desire never ever leaves you. Never. Therefore, it has been said in the Vedic scriptures. In the Vedic scriptures, it has been said that, in fact, you can destroy illusion by reading the scriptures. You can destroy envy by controlling your senses. But if you want to conquer pride, then you must accept a spiritual master. That you can destroy illusion by reading scripture. You can also destroy envy by conquering your senses. But if you want to conquer your pride, you have to accept a spiritual master. And conquering pride is the first step in spiritual life. Therefore, it is said that unless you accept spiritual master, your spiritual life has not really begun. It has been said, Amanitvam Adambitvam. That first of all, you become humble. You lose your arrogance. That can be done only when you serve a spiritual master. Humility is a very, very important virtue. I remember when I was in medical college, we had gynecology and obstetrics professor who was a very saintly man. And he used to give lectures on gynecology and obstetrics. So he was teaching us the difference between normal birth and abnormal birth. Now normal birth, as we all know, is a very natural process. You don't require to do anything. The baby comes out very simply without any assistance. So therefore the doctors are taught that you should be watchful expectancy and masterful in activity. Just cross your hands and stand there looking very intelligent, the baby will come out by itself and you will get all the tali. So that is normal birth. But you also have abnormal birth. And what is abnormal birth? In abnormal birth, the child gets stuck in the birth passage. The child gets stuck in the birth passage, thereby endangering the life of the child and the life of the mother. So he taught us all about normal and abnormal birth. And at the end of all the series of lectures, he asked us, can anyone tell me the one difference between normal and abnormal birth? Nobody was able to tell him properly. So he said, just see, the child is so big. The child is so big, but although the child is so big, it comes out so smoothly through the normal birth passage. Why does it come out so smoothly through the normal birth passage? Because it enters the birth passage by presenting the smallest part of its circumference. That means the baby comes upside down. The baby is upside down in the abdomen of the woman. And when it comes into the birth passage, what happens is that it bends its head like this. It flexes its head with the chin on the chest, so that the top of the head, which is the narrowest part of the anatomy, presents over there. And by presenting this narrow part of the anatomy, it enters into the birth passage and comes out very easily. That is normal birth. In abnormal birth, what happens? In abnormal birth, he said, just see, the child who should be flexing his head on his chest, he starts raising his head. And because he starts raising his head, a larger diameter presents. Therefore, it gets stuck in the birth passage. Therefore, it doesn't come out smoothly. Therefore, normal passage does not occur. So he said, remember this lesson in life, not only material life, but also in spiritual life. If you learn to keep your head flexed on your chest, if you learn to be humble, if you learn to flex your head, if you learn to keep your chin on your chest, you will go not only through material life, but also spiritual life with great ease. You will have normal birth into the spiritual world. That is what will happen to you. But if you try to be proud, if you try to extend your head, then you will meet with arrest of birth, arrest of labor. And therefore you will find it tough going for you. But the fact is that all of us have this tendency to raise our head off our chest. Therefore, we need a skillful obstetrician who can use a forceps to forcibly flex the head. Or we need a skillful obstetrician who can actually perform a cesarean section and pull us out. That is a guru. The guru is one whose basic function is to forcibly flex our head on our chest, to make us humble and pull us through this material world eventually into the spiritual realm. That is the function of guru. The function of guru is to help you acquire humility. This is the main reason why we accept guru. But still, it is very difficult for somebody who wants to be lord and master to accept guru. There is a very interesting story that once upon a time, there was a big strong tiger in the jungle, and he wanted to be known by everybody as lord and master of the jungle. So while strolling in the forest, he came across a little small rabbit. So he caught that rabbit in his claws, paws, and he pushed that rabbit's nose into the dirt. And after rubbing its nose in the dirt, he banged it 2-3 times on the back of the head. And when the rabbit was half unconscious, he shouted in the rabbit's ear, "Who is Lord and Master of this jungle?" The poor rabbit, who was half unconscious, just squeaked out, You, sir, you are the Lord and Master of the jungle." And the tiger felt very happy. He said, "I am Lord and Master of the jungle," and let the rabbit run away. And he went ahead a little further, and he saw a small, mangy looking jackal slinking along. So this huge tiger, he went up to the jackal, and he walloped the jackal on both sides of the head with his paw. And he jumping on the jackal, pushing his nose into the dirt, he shouted into the jackal's ear, "Who is Lord and Master of this jungle?" And the poor jackal, who was so stunned and half unconscious, he also squeaked out, "You sir, you are the Lord and Master of the jungle." So the tiger felt, "Aha, I am Lord and Master of the jungle." He was even more happy. And he let the jackal stroll along. And he went through the forest with his chest puffed out. And in the clearing, he saw a gigantic elephant grazing over there. So when he saw a gigantic elephant grazing in the clearing, this tiger went behind that elephant and he gave that elephant one kick on the backside with its paw. And then he said, "Who's Lord and Master of the jungle?" Of course, the elephant never noticed what the tiger had done. Then very slowly, as if some mosquito had bothered it, the elephant gradually turned around. And then it saw the tiny little tiger in front of it. It took its trunk, it wrapped the trunk all around the tiger, and it flung it about 40-50 feet in the air. And when the tiger came smashing down, he threw it a half a dozen more times. And then finally, he used his tusks to skewer the entire tiger. He drove his tusks entirely through the body of the tiger and he pulled his tusks out. And jumping into the air, the huge elephant jumped on the back of the tiger until the tiger was pounded at least 4 feet into the ground. And after the tiger was so demolished, the elephant went back to grazing. The tiger lay there for a long time. And slowly the tiger opened its eyes, and seeing that the elephant was far away, it crawled out of the pit in what horrible condition it had found itself. And dragging itself to the end of the clearing, it looked back and said to the elephant, Okay, if you don't know the answer, you don't have to get so angry." So that is the position of the living entity. The living entity is like the tiger. He always imagines that he is Lord and Master of the jungle. And he goes through life imagining that I am doing this, I am doing that, I am doing this, I am doing that, I am the Lord and Master of the jungle. And who's the elephant? The elephant is material nature. God has designed the material nature as the elephant. And the material nature will jump on these tigers as it has jumped on so many tigers before. And it will crush and it will pound them to the earth. And still they will say, "I am still Lord and Master." They just don't know the answer, that's all. This is the nature of human being. They always want to be Lord and Master. When they have learnt a bad lesson, they still want to persist on the path that they have. This is the position of the living entity, that he always struggles to be Lord and Master, and God uses material nature to humble him. In fact, what is spiritual master? Spiritual master can be compared to a powerful electromagnet. What do I mean by an electromagnet? An electromagnet is an ordinary piece of metal. But although it's an ordinary piece of metal, it has got an electric current running around it in the form of a wire. And as long as the electric current flows around the piece of metal, it becomes a very powerful magnet which attracts all other iron particles around and magnetizes them in turn. So the spiritual master is an iron particle like you and me. The only difference is that because he is constantly conscious of God, because he is in constant Krishna consciousness, because that current of God consciousness is constantly flowing around him, he functions as a powerful magnet and he attracts everybody towards him. But you may think that, but I have met so many spiritual masters and I have not been attracted towards them. If the Guru is such a powerful electric magnet, why am I not attracted towards him? The answer is very simple. That which iron particles are not attracted towards the magnet? Those iron particles which are covered by rust. And because we have been in the material world from time immemorial, because we have been covered by moisture and exposed to air, we have all rusted. On our heart we have the rust of material desire. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Dhumen avrite vanir," just like the smoke is covered by fire. "Yatha adarsha malena cha," just like the mirror is covered by dust. yatha alben avrito garbas tatha tenedam avritam. That is the way you are covered up. That's how we are all covered by rust. Just like the fire is covered by smoke, just like the mirror is covered by dust, just like the embryo is covered by the womb, just like the child is covered by the womb, so also we are also covered by rust. Therefore we are not attracted to him. Now how to get rid of that rust? How are we to get rid of that rust? Because unless we get rid of that rust, we cannot actually be attracted to a spiritual master. To remove that rust, there is a technique, there is a method. Of course, nowadays you get some rust solvents like Rust-Oleum. You just put the rust on the rusty object and the rust dissolves and goes away. So also in spiritual life, there is a rust solvent which removes all the rust, all the material desire from your heart. And what is that rust remover? It has been said in the Brihad Naradiya Puran. Harer naam, harer naam, harer naam eva kevalam. Kalau nasti eva nasti eva nasti eva gati ranyata. That there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way to remove the rust from your heart other than by chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. So by chanting the holy name of the Lord, what happens? The rust that is on our heart is removed and we can feel the attraction of the spiritual master. So actually before we meet spiritual master, what happens? We have to actually be prepared for spiritual master. Otherwise we meet so many characters. Because God is seated in our heart and He is fulfilling our desire. If you have a desire for a cheater, He will send you a cheater. If you have a desire to have illicit sex life and be spiritual, He will send you such a person who will tell you that you can have unlimited sex life and you can still be spiritual. Such people are also there in the world. So God will send you such people because your heart is unclean. But if you have cleaned your heart, if your heart has become clean, He will send you the genuine person. Actually, everybody gets a spiritual master he deserves. If your heart is pure, you will get a pure spiritual master. If your desire is pure, you will get a pure spiritual master. If your desire is impure, you will get an impure spiritual master. The other day I was traveling in Bandra. So I saw a sign over there. It said, Guru Kripa Deshi Liquor Bar. So I was amazed. Guru Kripa Deshi Liquor Bar. But what kind of guru is this who gives the kripa that you have a Deshi Liquor Bar? So, if your heart is unclean, if your desire or basic desire is unclean, you get such a guru. Because God is fulfilling whatever desire is in your heart. You have a desire for such a guru, He will send you such a guru. But if you have a pure desire for spiritual life, He will send you a person who will give you only spiritual life. If you have a desire for a guru who will give you material benediction, you will get such a guru. He will give you a lot of material benediction. If you have a desire for somebody who will tell you that you are God, then you will get such a guru who will tell you, you are God, I am God, we are all God. But if you have a pure desire to re-establish your relationship with God between the Supreme Eternal and the Infinitesimal Eternal, between the Infinite and the Infinitesimal, if you want to re-establish that contact of bhakti, if you want to re-establish that contact of bhakti and you have the genuine pure desire, God will send you that pure guru. All you have to do is to chant the holy name. And it has been said that it has been said in the Shikshashtakam that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the dust from the mirror of your heart is clean. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. That by chanting God's name, all the dust from your heart will be removed. You will get a pure desire for a genuine guru. And then you don't have to look for guru. No, you don't have to look for guru. Guru will come to you. Just take the example of my spiritual master. He wanted guru. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada came all the way from India to America and he came on the boat Jaladut. But my spiritual master was so keen to find Guru that he got on the same boat and he came back to India. Just see, this one boat brings the spiritual master to America, the spiritual master gets off the boat and the disciple in search of the spiritual master gets on the same boat and comes to India. And after spending 2 years looking for Guru here, he goes back. And when he goes back, he finds that the Guru is on the same street, next street. Within walking distance of him. So actually Krishna provides the guru for you. You don't have to look for him. It has been said that by the mercy of Krishna you get guru and by the mercy of guru you get Krishna. All you have to do is you have to embark on the spiritual path, trust in God and chant His holy name and purify your heart. But sometimes it's very difficult for some people to accept this path. I remember a nice cartoon amused Srila Prabhupada a lot. In this cartoon, there was one person who was telling his friend, chant. And what are the friends saying? Can't. So one was saying chant, the other was saying can't. So what do? If somebody can't chant, then how is he going to purify his heart? How is he going to find genuine guru? There are two ways of removing rust. As I told you, the problem is rust. So if you have a rusty iron object, there are two ways of removing rust. One is, of course, you put a rust solvent and it dissolves off. That's a painless way of removing rust. But there's yet another way of removing rust, and that is, you take the rusty iron object, hold it in your hand, and take a big hammer and you bang away at that object. What will happen? All the rust will flake off. So if somebody is not able to chant or doesn't want to chant, then material nature, just like the elephant who jumped on the tiger, will jump on that person again and again and again, and finally will bang him again and again and again, and with every bang some more rust will come off, until eventually he is free of rust and is attracted to a genuine spiritual master. But we should not be so foolish, we should not be so idiotic. We should immediately take to this process, and by chanting the holy name of God, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we should remove the rust from our heart, and by purifying our heart and our intentions, depend on Krishna to find us a genuine guru who will save us from this miserable material world and take us back to Godhead. So now I'll just have a short slideshow, and then any question answer the whole course. This is Kali Yuga. It's actually said Kaler Dosha Nidhi Rajan, that Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault. And wherever we look in Kali Yuga, we find that there is quarrel, misfortune, unhappiness and violence. Where actually man has become a faceless creature. He doesn't know who he is, he doesn't know where he's come from, he doesn't know where he's going, and he doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing over here. This is the present situation of human beings in Kali Yuga. And there they're completely bewildered by so many philosophies. There are so many philosophies, so many philosophers, and a bewildering array of solutions to the human problem. But all solutions can be solved when we start with the truth. That is, we have to start with the understanding that we are not this body. We have to understand that we are spirit soul. And just like we move from infancy to a new body in childhood, to that of a youth, to that of a man, finally in old age we change our bodies again, and at the point of death we should change our bodies and take on a new one. So we should first of all try to understand who we are. We should understand that this physical world, this world of flesh, is a place of misery. That true beauty lies not in this world, but in the spiritual world. This is the example of a beautiful woman who was threatened by a handsome prince who wanted to have sex with her. So she said, come and see me after 7 days. And 7 days later when the prince came, he found that she was a shriveled old hag, because she had taken emetics, diuretics and laxatives. And she had vomited past urine and past stool until she had become completely dehydrated. And when he asked her where her beauty had gone, she showed him these pots which contained all the vomit, the stool and the urine. And she said, all my beauty lies in this. And in this world, we also, like this foolish prince, we imagine that all beauty lies in this bag of, or this bundle of bones, flesh, pus, urine and bile. And therefore, we pursue a life based on sense pleasures. Dhyayate vishayan pumsa sangaste supajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha bhajayate. Krodhat bhavati sammo sammo smriti vibrahma smriti brahmashat buddhi nasho buddhi nasha pranashyati. That it starts with a thought, it leads to attachment, that leads to lust and love. That is frustrated, leading to anger. Anger leads to loss of memory and discrimination, finally leading to our downfall. And people live like the camel. The camel eats thorns, not realizing that the taste that he's having in the mouth is not that of the thorns, but that of his own blood. The thorns cut up his mouth, he tastes his own blood and thinks he's enjoying. And eventually his whole mouth gets ulcerated. So also we seek pleasures of the world, not realizing that in seeking pleasures of the world, in actual fact, we are like this foolish camel who eats thorns. We are unprepared for death. Because like this man in 1925, attached to his dog, grows up, becomes a businessman. Finally when he retires, he's still lost in thoughts of his childhood dog. His dog in childhood. and finally dies thinking of his dog and comes back as a dog. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that yam yam vapi smaran bhavam sajete ante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavita. That whatever you think of at the time of death, that you shall obtain. Nobody is aware of that. Therefore they come back in all different forms. Nobody knows about God. Nobody knows about the spiritual world. Nobody knows that God in fact is seated even in our own hearts. It has been said, Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakaya Samanam Vriksha Parisha Swajati Tayor Anya Pipalam Swadvatya Anashtan Tayor Abhichikasati. There are two birds seated in the tree. You, the Jivatma, are tasting the fruits of the world. Some are bitter, some are sweet, some are tasteless. But until you turn your face to the bird beside you, until you turn your face to God, you will never know peace. You imagine you are the doer of all activities. But in actual fact, you do nothing, it's God who does everything. It has been said, Prakriti Kriyamanani Guna Karmani Sarvasha Ahankara Vimudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. That you can see this little baby kangaroo. This baby kangaroo is seated in the pouch of the mother kangaroo. And when the mother jumps, runs, the baby kangaroo thinks he is doing everything. So also, actually everything is being done by God through material nature. But the foolish living entity, he imagines that he is doing everything. That is a function, that is a position of every living entity. So to realize a spiritual identity, people leave the world, they leave society, they go to the Himalayas, they go into the forest without understanding the human values of life. Because are you a human being because you can build a dam? No sir. You can see here in this picture, even beavers build dams. In fact, you are here to actually understand about God. And you cannot understand about God unless you accept a teacher. As I pointed out, you cannot even learn to breathe unless you have a proper teacher. Here is a book on pranayam, breathing for long life and good health. So if you want to learn to breathe also, you must have a teacher. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. And since ancient times, this has been the path. By approaching a realized soul, a God-realized soul, everybody has learned the truth. And this is because these God-realized souls have heard in disciplic succession from an unbroken chain of spiritual masters who have heard from God himself. This is higher grave incarnation, giving the knowledge to Brahma. So eventually, Krishna is the source of all knowledge. And all knowledge comes from him through an unbroken chain of self-realized spiritual masters. You will see that even Krishna accepted spiritual master. You will see that even Ram accepted spiritual master. Krishna accepted Sandipani Muni. And Ram accepted Vashishth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, incarnation of God, he also accepted spiritual master, he accepted Ishwarapurit. But unfortunately, people who are under the modes of material nature, who are overcome by Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun, they have great difficulty in understanding God. Because when you are under the modes of material nature, you can be cheated. You can meet a fake guru. Or rather, you can meet a fake who is claiming to be Guru. So he may hold a wonderful mask up in front of you, but when that mask is taken out, you will find a first class rascal. You will find the first class cheater behind the mask. And you will find gurus like this, who will sell you mantras. They will tell you, pay me so much, I'll give you the mantra. You just follow me and you'll become God. These are the fake gurus that you'll come across. They will allow you, and in fact they will even encourage you. What's wrong with taking drugs? One famous so-called spiritual master said, the drugs help to relieve you of tension. Therefore, you should be allowed to take drugs like marijuana. This is a famous so-called spiritual teacher has made this remark. They will encourage you to have illicit sex. In fact, they themselves may be reading Playboy and surrounded by half a dozen beautiful women. Such will be the fakes that you will come across. They will encourage you in your path of sense gratification. And they will mislead you. And where will you land up if you follow rascals like this? Where do you think you will land up if you follow rascals like this? Here you have. This is happening all over the world. For example, this is a picture from the recent Time magazine. That Christians today are accepting homosexuals as priests. That in the United States of America, even in the Church of England, you have Protestants and Catholics willingly accepting priests who are not only not celibate, but these priests are having unnatural sexual activity. In fact, the Time magazine said that there are some reports of almost 60% of these priests who are supposed to be celibate, but they're actually confessed that they're homosexuals. So this is an article from Time magazine, and you would be well to read that. Because these are the kind of rascals that you have in Kali Yuga. These are the cheaters that you have in Kali Yuga. And if you follow spiritual, so-called spiritual leaders like this, where do you think that you will end up? Take a good look. If you follow a fake, if you follow a cheater, this is the fate. You will end up in the dustbin of life. Because it has been said that na te vidu swartha gatimi Vishnu durashaya hi bair arthamanina andha yatha andhe upaniyamana se api isha tantrim uru damni badda. That they don't know that the goal of life is to reach Vishnu or Krishna, God. And instead they accept a guru who teaches them the opposite. Therefore, like one blind man leading another blind man, they all get bound by the ropes of karma. What happens when one blind man leads another? See the slide. These are all blind men leading each other. And what happens when one man is going into the ditch? All of them go into the ditch. That is the fate of those who follow cheaters. Therefore, Krishna says, evam parampara praptam imam rajarishyo vidu. If you want to learn the science of self-realization, hear it in disciplic succession. Just like I revealed this knowledge to Vivashvan, the sun god, who revealed it to Ikshvaku, Ikshvaku revealed it to his son Manu. You should hear it in disciplic succession. Because besides following the holy scriptures in your conscience, you have to associate with saintly persons. You have to follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, who comes in an unbroken chain of self-realized spiritual masters coming from God himself. Because only he can impart this knowledge to the sincere seeker. So there are four sampradayas, as I pointed out. This you are hearing is from the Brahma sampradaya. Then you have the Rudra sampradaya, like the Vallabhacharya sampradaya. You have the Sri sampradaya, where knowledge comes from Sri Lakshmi, or the Ramanuja sampradaya. You have the Kaumara sampradaya, where Vishnu reveals his knowledge to the four Kaumara brothers, to Nimbarkacharya. So you are hearing today through the Brahma sampradaya, Tene Brahma Ridaya, where Brahma has revealed his knowledge to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni in turn, who travels all over the universe, has revealed his knowledge to Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva has revealed his knowledge. This is a picture of Vyasadeva, who has revealed his knowledge through Madhvacharya, and has come in disciplic succession through Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, who is the spiritual master of A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And it has come down through him in disciplic succession. You can see here Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj giving the beads of initiation to Prabhupada, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And in turn from A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, you have heard it through his foremost disciple Kirtanananda Swami Bhakti Pad, who is my spiritual master. In fact, it has been said that if you have the right spiritual master, even if you are a sadist, you can become a saint. This is the example of the hunter Nigari, who used to half kill animals by shooting them and leave them to be tortured to death. But when he met Narad Muni, and Narad Muni enlightened him, made him chant the holy name and eat prasadam, he became so purified that when Narad Muni came back, he was not willing to harm an ant. He was trying to remove ants harmlessly from the path before he offered his respects. So from a sadist you can become a saint. That is the power of a spiritual master. And you see A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, who went to the height of Kali Yuga, to the United States of America, where everybody eats meat, where intoxication is accepted, where illicit sex is accepted, where gambling is accepted. And he took ordinary people from the streets like these, and he made them into people like this. He made them into devotees of God. And in fact, he revealed the unadulterated message of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he gave the path that we should follow. That we have an option of attachment, lust, anger, greed, ignorance, envy, going towards hell, or we can accept a spiritual master, study the Vedas, control our senses, acquire spiritual knowledge, and go back to Godhead. So that choice is there before us. And it's up to us now what we want to do. But the path is open. If you want to begin spiritual life, you must chant the holy name, purify your heart, and begin spiritual life by accepting a spiritual master. Can you have the lights, please? His question is, can you have one guru or can you have many gurus? Actually, there are many gurus. You have the Pad Pradarshak Guru. What is Pad Pradarshak Guru? Pad Pradarshak Guru means the guru who shows you the path. Like for example, somebody may have given you a copy of Bhagavad Gita. Somebody may have directed you to a lecture on Krishna consciousness. Somebody may have directed you to temple. He is a Pad Pradarshak Guru. You also have Shiksha Guru. That means you have somebody who gives you this knowledge. That means he may be giving you knowledge in the form of lecture or in the form of any form of instruction he is giving you. That is Shiksha Guru. And then you have Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru is a self-realized soul who has realized God, who is in communion with God, who is actually giving you inspiration because he is the finished product of the process. So there are many gurus. But even in Diksha Guru, I remember I asked my spiritual master, I said, what is the meaning of Guru? So my spiritual master said, whoever you see Krishna through most clearly, that is Guru. So I said, fine, now I am seeing Krishna most clearly through you. So I may accept you as Guru, I may take Diksha from you. Then tomorrow I may meet somebody else through whom I can see Krishna better, then what? Am I stuck with you? So he started laughing. He says, the idea is not to connect you with any particular person. The idea is to connect you with God. So whoever you can see Krishna more clearly through, you should follow that person. If today you see Krishna most clearly through me, you follow me. If tomorrow you see Krishna more clearly through somebody else, then by all means follow him with my blessing. Because any genuine guru wants to help you to re-establish contact with God. He's not interested in tying you or binding you down to himself. Therefore, we must all be practical. We must see from where we get the maximum knowledge of God, from where we can see God the best, and that is the path that we should follow. Any other questions? Okay, so then we shall chant the holy name of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.